Millions of eligible voters in America never make it to the polls or even register to vote. When you don't vote, you're letting other people make decisions for you and pick the things your taxes will pay for. Voting is more than a civic duty. It gives you a voice about the priorities and the future of your community and our nation. Voting gives you a seat at the table.
That's right. And don't forget to register to vote wherever you happen to be. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, operating at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and WUSB.FM. And now, it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Oh, no. This again? Why?
Yeah, this again? I don't know.
Got me here.
The days just keep going really, really fast. And, a lot of things to organize in the middle of a lot of things. So, yeah, here it is, Tuesday, 6 o'clock again, or 6:09 actually right now. And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this exciting edition of Off the Wall as we zoom ever further into the abyss and see where it takes us.
No, thank you. I'm everybody.
I suppose.
Part of everybody.
Okay.
Presumably.
So, yeah, a lot of things going on. We're all tuned into the news and, you know, waiting for this thing to end. And it's like some kind of operation that you just didn't want to get in the first place. And here we are, along for the ride, and let's see how it turns out. I don't know why I'm so apprehensive. You know, I have faith in people that we're not going to do something stupid. But then I look back and see how many times we've done stupid things, and I'm not so sure. It's just that this one could be really, really bad. And I'd like to be proven a fool if I'm wrong, but I'd rather be proven a fool in my insecurity as to how things are going to turn out. Either way, I'm a fool, so we'll see. Actually, you know, there is a scenario where I'm completely right, and everything erupts into complete chaos and mayhem. So I don't know how I'll feel being proven right. I don't want to be proven right. I'd rather have faith in fellow people to do the right thing. And, you know, save democracy, a little side project. All right, let's start with some good news. All right, and this is good news for you, Kyle. Brookhaven, the town that we're in, the town that encompasses Stony Brook and surrounding areas, they are one of only four towns on Long Island that have approved, or that did approve long, long time ago, the opening of dispensaries to sell cannabis products. As is happening all around the country, many, many states, New York City, all over the place. You know, I'm talking about legal dispensaries, not the ones that aren't licensed that you don't know what you're getting, but, you know, legitimate ones. But on Long Island, even though it's legal in the state, there are towns that and counties, in fact, that don't want any part of it. Nassau County, run by crazy man Bruce Blakeman, is leading the pack. And in Suffolk County, we only have four towns, as mentioned. Town of Babylon, town of Riverhead, and town of Southampton. Sorry, I'm having trouble saying that. Town of Southampton, as well as the aforementioned town of Brookhaven, where we are right now. Well, there have not been any. We were bitching about this a couple of weeks ago, and nothing has opened in Brookhaven because of the very, very strict zoning requirements that have been imposed on any dispensary that wants to open. Making it virtually impossible to open one that's not within a certain distance from a school, a church, a dance studio, a house. You kind of have to open it in the middle of the ocean. Well, apparently that has now changed because the zoning regulations have been modified slightly, and as a result, Brookhaven's first town-approved cannabis dispensary could open as soon as January. Yeah, and it'll be in Medford, right down Route 112. It's called Belief, B-E-L-E-A-F. That's how you spell Belief. Belief Medford would join dispensaries in the towns of Babylon, Riverhead, and Southampton as the only marijuana stores on Long Island. That's outside of the two American Indian reservations, Shinnecock Nation Reservation in Southampton and the Pusputuk Reservation in Mastic. And if you ever drive to Mastic and go there, boy, you'll see a whole lot of cannabis shops.
All of those are worthy of long, long discussions about their nuances, intricacies, and how you differentiate them.
Yeah.
But it is incredible to hear that they've modified and just basically found compromise to make the opening of a a location or two possible. It's been lacking, and you need to have these places to safely distribute what is being grown in New York State, and to kind of clear out the backlog of stuff and get you know, good quality fresh product out to people. So I mean, that's encouraging, because being really far away adds to the complexity of acquiring it, especially near Stony Brook and in this area.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to Stony Brook, a professor, say, someone over 21, we're following the law here.
You
need, you know, something to, you know, just to, what's a proper phrase? Calm your nerves, or
to imbibe.
Yeah, but it's something constructive that people can say, yeah, it's a good idea. To help your creative thoughts, or
deal with inflammation.
Deal with inflammation. Okay.
Turning pages.
How about
books?
Deal with just society and deal with annoying people around you and just, I don't know, all the good things that cannabis gives you. There are so many of them, and you know, to help with certain afflictions, it absolutely does. It's been proven medically, and you know, we finally rounded that corner. It's just a shame to see ignorance keeping it from being made available. But if you're at Stony Brook, you know, you have to go all the way out east or all the way west. I think Farmingdale has a few, and that's the town of Babylon.
You think? Don't be cagey.
In Southampton, I know one just opened a couple of weeks ago. Riverhead, I don't know where they are in Riverhead. And, of course, that does not count the Indian reservations. Okay, so this one, Belief Medford, would be the first, hopefully not the last, in the town of Brookhaven. It was among 141 shops statewide that were approved for adult use cannabis licenses by the State Cannabis Control Board on October 10th. I'm not sure what that means exactly, if that's 141 new shops that were approved across the state, because the total count is just over 200 right now. And I get the updates. I didn't see that 141 shops just got approved. But I saw that the number is just over 200.
An approval doesn't necessarily mean that they've opened yet. So
no.
That may be a new tranche of applications that have been shepherded.
I think that's a legitimate word.
I think that's a word.
Yeah.
Have been brought through, marshaled along this process, carefully selected,
uh-huh.
And are part of a new... That would be great if it was, because that's effectively nearly doubling, or at least by half, increasing...
Well, let's hope there's more in Brookhaven besides just this one. Now, the co-owners of Belief Medford said they're applying for a town building permit, and they hope to open the store in January or February. So they still have to apply for a permit. It's really a lot of work. They say it's been very difficult. At the end of the day, it's a roll of the dice. But we felt from our digging, our research, our due diligence that this was a good location. And this will be their third cannabis dispensary. They operate a store in Brooklyn and another that's set to open in Riverhead later this year. The opening of the first legal marijuana store in Brookhaven, which is Suffolk's largest town, is a milestone for the cannabis industry. That's according to Hugo Rivaz, leader of the Long Island Cannabis Coalition, which is a trade group of pot shop owners. It's a little step, he said, but it's a big step. Brookhaven is like I said, only one of only four Long Island towns to opt into the state's effort to legalize recreational marijuana. Now, these stores are potentially lucrative for the towns. Babylon's collected more than $1.8 million from a special state sales tax from its first two East Farmingdale pot shops, and I know a third one is open out there. 2021, Brookhaven imposed zoning rules that restricted pot shops to industrial areas, and it also barred retail cannabis dispensaries from operating within 500 feet of homes and 1,000 feet of schools, parks, libraries, houses of worship, and a bunch of other public facilities. I don't understand the thinking behind this. Why it's okay for a bar or a liquor store to be open, or even a 7-Eleven where you can easily stroll in and buy all kinds of alcoholic products. We talk about. I mean, there was a 7-Eleven next to my high school, for God's sake. You know, it's not difficult to see how that could be harmful, but that that's okay. Even though alcohol causes so many more problems than pot ever does, they have this real hesitancy towards opening a cannabis shop that is completely controlled. We were in one yesterday in Manhattan. You have to show your ID to get in. Even I have to show my ID to get in. I'm well above legal age, but you still have to keep track of things.
Yeah, that was what I was going to interject. I was also going to mention having visited one upstate in Rochester.
Oh, yeah.
On a road trip with you.
That's a cool city, by the way. Rochester, New York.
Neat.
Yeah.
It has a lot of interesting things, public art and some different development that is unique, and it's also got some charming little neighborhoods. But beyond that, this was one of my stops there, and I've been to a lot of the New York State dispensaries myself, just, I guess, propping them up. I have all the packaging to prove it. But just to check these places out, and as I have across the country on other road trips, doing a lot of road trips lately, but I've never gotten into one of these places without having been challenged for an ID. Like, that's just across the board. And when I think of the whole of it operationally or functionally, like, this is all the jobs. These are the opportunities that opening these retail establishments create. You have someone who's dedicated to making sure only people who can get in, get in. And, I mean, they are a layer between the main door and it's secondary access control, like, other than itself, the place being open. So, like, these are part of designing the implementation of this, and it is those mechanisms that are keeping this safe, and while you're accruing some kind of tax revenue from the products. And I just want to add also that consistency and the quantities across the board are much better, I think, and the price points and stuff have I think stabilized or at least become much more affordable for what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Like being in Rochester, you can get something that you might expect also to be available in Manhattan or out in the Brookhaven.
So prices
area.
Are getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's as competitive as some of those American Indian and other places that maybe have more independent review processes there,
right.
and don't necessarily come up with their own strategies. There are merits to what's available there too. And I think for a while there was a lot of timidness, and basically a lot of excessive packaging. There's other critiques I have, like pre-rolled joints. I think all of them, they're sort of, I've never purchased one that I've really been satisfied with.
Mm-hmm.
More than what I can do myself, you know?
Yeah.
And they're charging like a lot of money for that. So that's something I'd still critique maybe. But
not everyone has that skill.
Yeah, exactly. Or they have maybe dexterity issues and this
True.
Stuff. This actually makes it more accessible. But I think some of those machines they're using are a little too tight or something. I don't know.
Well, the interesting thing is, and this is what we encourage people to do, is to visit a dispensary, assuming you're of age, and just check out the mood inside.
That's the greater point, yeah.
You will find the most helpful people there who will explain everything that you need to know, that will guide you as far as what you're looking for. And you certainly won't find anyone from a dance studio or a school being somehow corrupted in a place like this. Even if it was right next door, that would not be an issue. Every single deli and 7-Eleven, liquor store and bar that are, right next to these places, they have a much better chance of corrupting our nation's youth than a dispensary does. Now, I'm not saying shut those down. I'm saying we can all live in a community. You don't have to hide these places away as if they're something to be ashamed of. They're not. They're actually something to be proud of. You see people of all walks of life, old, young, working class, academics, all coming in to a dispensary to get something that will help them and be good for them, both medically and mentally. And it's a community. It's a really interesting community that has developed. And it's just nice to see that, you know, being acknowledged for the first time in the last few years. That is what has happened in America. And of course, all of Canada now, it's legal as well. And it's, you know, it's a positive thing. It should be looked upon as that. It's too bad there's so much ignorance on Long Island as far as being afraid of these things. But, you know, it's kind of becoming the theme on Long Island to be afraid of things, you know, to be told that there's all these rampaging immigrants or that crime is skyrocketing or just any manner of things that you're being force-fed to panic over. And when you do the actual research, when you look into these stories, you know, when you see what's happening in reality, look at statistics, you talk to law enforcement, you find out that most of that is nonsense. Most of that is a manipulative tool to get you to act in a certain way. And dispensaries, that's just another example of this. So please, don't listen to people who are telling you how bad everything is. Find out for yourself if something is truly bad. But this is a case, I think, where it's incredibly full of potential and a big step forward.
Absolutely. And I second that, like, pleasant nature. I've been in so many of these places, and the way people react and communicate and treat one another.
Never seen a dispensary brawl. Never. I've seen plenty of bar brawls, but never a dispensary brawl.
No. Uh-huh. No. In fact, in the one upstate, there was a French bulldog in there that was, like, checking everybody out.
That's right. And, okay, we can't give out exact places, but if you're in Rochester, you might know the place. It's a dispensary. You go in as a bulldog, who apparently is security. He just basically strolls around the place, sniffs people, and just goes on to the next one. Didn't take any interest in Kyle or myself. I'm not sure how to take that. But yeah, that was impressive.
It was very busy. And it's really filling in a what would otherwise be done sort of in the shadows, and really is, I think, something that has some counterintuitive perhaps to some, but some really incredible virtues for people getting to work and dealing with how much their responsibilities, their day to day. I think acknowledging that people should be able to relax how they choose and maybe have some enjoyment in their downtime and recovery from all of that hard work.
So even though the restrictions are still a bit much, hats off to the Brookhaven Town Board for voting 5-1 to amend the town code to make it a little bit more realistic. So instead of having to be 1,000 feet away from public facilities, now it's only 500 feet, and this Medford shop would be 587 feet from a school and a daycare facility. And again, what is the worry here, that toddlers are going to crawl over to a dispensary and demand pot? I mean, that's not going to happen. Even if they made it in the door, they don't have credit, they don't take credit cards, they take only cash or debit cards, right? That's another silly thing, because it's still a federal it's so federally illegal. Now, Kamala Harris says she's in favor of legalizing it. Let's see if that's true if she gets elected, and hold politicians to these promises.
There are so much that payment processors and large banks are okay with. It's kind of galling that they choose this to refute as far as processing on that scale. Their investment portfolio is probably as sick as anything else, if you want to take it, like, you know, so literally. Mm-hmm. and it'd be so offended. But I think this is something that's actually not as negative as has been made out as it has been made out to be by some of that private investment.
Now, you know, a lot of the opposition comes from civic associations. In fact, the president of the Medford Taxpayers and Civic Association is outraged by this. I don't know what it is about civic associations. Maybe they're just too connected to the way things used to be, and any change is something that is a threat.
Well, it is cutting it close. I'm impressed that it is so close in proximity, but if they've made some adjustments and it's logical for the terrain and the area, then I think that should be okay. It satisfies the requirements.
Well, Brett Hudick of Medford would disagree with you. Basically, he said the agenda for the town board meeting said nothing about cannabis shops. They buried it in the agenda. They didn't discuss it openly. The code was designed to protect the community, but apparently Medford is not a community the town thinks worthy of protection. Yeah.
Are we protecting? Wait,
I don't
what?
Know. That's what that's my question. What are you protecting from exactly?
Protecting the black market.
Yeah, you're protecting the black market. That is what you are doing. I'm not sure if the civic association out there has an interest in that. But let me explain how that happens. When you have a legal shop that that controls who goes in their doors and keeps track of things and has a product that is basically of a certain quality level that is checked, you eliminate a few things there. You eliminate kids getting it easily anyway. You make it a lot harder for them. You basically have a better quality out there so people don't get sick from taking something that is being passed around illegally. Now, sure, there's still going to be a black market out there, but mostly because there aren't enough dispensaries out there, mostly because it's been made so hard for them to exist that the illegal trade is flourishing. It will continue to flourish. You know, when's the last time someone offered to sell you, bootleg moonshine on the street? It doesn't happen as much since Prohibition was overruled. when you have restrictions on certain things, then you're going to get it one way or another. And the way you wind up getting it, yeah, abortion, that's another good example. It won't be as professional, let's say, and a lot riskier. So it's good for the community. It's good for the neighborhood. And that's not even taking into account the amount of money coming in. You know, why is it that it's okay for a massive casino, Jake's 58, to exist? Everybody is bowing down to this thing that always has more cars than it can handle in their parking lots, and everybody's just gambling away their money. Because they're paying taxes or something donated to the schools or whatever. Yeah, gambling is a lot more of a vice than smoking a joint. But somehow we are embracing that everywhere. My God, sports have been ruined by gambling. Everything is a gamble now. You know, these fantasy leagues, which I still don't understand. Apparently people are gambling on those. I don't even understand how you gamble on fantasy. But that is something that is much more of a threat than cannabis is to anybody.
Wow, yeah, that is true. The comparisons there. And I just think, yeah, the nature of it as a cash crop, it's something that people, there is a demand for, and it really allows the growers to establish and I think the state itself also to establish a brand or become renowned for what they're able to grow. I mean, apples, I guess, are another comparison, but there is expertise in this, and this is an avenue to create something that people can count on, they can go to, and they know what they're getting, and the funds are directed and controlled in a way that benefits society as well, and it just is formally acknowledged as a part of culture and a part of what people are doing and spending their money on.
We should give a shout-out to Councilman Michael LaGuaccio. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. LaGuaccio, who represents Medford. He said the previous distance requirement wasn't fair to applicants. This is from today's Newsday story. He said the owners did everything they needed to do to open the store. It's an industrial zone. They're following the letter of the law. As long as it's done legally and it's done right, then absolutely it should be allowed. So, it's something to look forward to. I don't understand. Why do Republicans oppose this? Because generally it's Republicans that are blocking this kind of thing. There are some Democrats who do too, but mostly Republicans. You will never see legal cannabis passed under Republican administrations. And, you know, Nassau County is a great example of that. I guess it's just fear of anything different that, you know, collides with their 1950s values. But the world is changing. One way or another, the world is changing. And, you know, it's not a threat to you to embrace things that are different, to embrace different nationalities or trans people or cannabis. These are steps in progress. I'm not trying to categorize people as steps in progress, but, you know, in your view of what's around you, seeing things change, it's a healthy thing. Seeing things stay the same, never change? No, that's not so healthy. That's not what I don't think anybody wants that. But, you know, you might be afraid. And again, it's these examples of fear about the crime and what the immigrants are doing and, you know, all the nonsense that you hear. And that kind of keeps you from embracing change because you associate change with these bad things that could be happening, but probably actually aren't.
I just thought of my observation. I think the saying I'm reaching for is pre-rolls are the hot dog of cannabis culture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's like you don't really want to know what they put in it because it's kind of the...
Well, it's a lot healthier than a hot dog, I'll bet.
Oh, probably. But you think it's going to be better, you know, than it actually... I keep saying, you know, it's... You think it better than it ends up being, and you don't want to think about, you know, maybe the bottom of the barrel was scraped to put it together, even though it's, you know, kind of dressed up.
Look, people will take light beer out of a cooler, all right, and that's a lot worse. So, yeah, it's okay.
So what else is going on in the neighborhood? That's a great positive story, though.
Cheered me up today because I was feeling a little down. We went out east, actually, last week, to see the comet. We saw the comet, yes. We went to a special place where there was a good view of the western sky. Now, supposedly, till the end of the month, it will be visible in the western sky. I'll tell you exactly how to see it. First of all, you got to get rid of the clouds. If there are clouds in the sky, you have to somehow get rid of those clouds. Now, when the clouds are gone and you can see west and the sun is setting... wait about a half hour or so until it's, you know, the sky isn't orange, until it's kind of dark, and you can see Venus, the big bright star in the western sky. Look above the horizon, and you should see what looks like a fuzzy disk with a tail behind it, and that's the comet. I don't know exactly where in the sky because, you know, it moves over the course of several days. It might be in a different location where we saw it. We were looking for a while. We didn't know if we were going to see it at all because there weren't very good guides as to what it would look like, where exactly it would be. And we were looking in all different places. And, of course, there were some clouds that appeared in very strategic places. But then we just saw it right there in the sky, something that looked a little dimmer than what I expected and a little bigger than what I expected, too. And clearly... that was a comet, and
you suddenly saw it. I was looking through binoculars and had been scanning up and down around this area of clouds in the horizon where the sun itself
didn't need binoculars.
Set.
Did not need them.
Wasn't required in the least. You just observed it, probably by like sometimes those things, like you know how the Seven Sisters are visible if you're not really looking.
If you're not looking at them, yeah, that's true.
Indirect observation. I think it caught out of the corner of your eye, or you just went to it. But it is right. It was right above the topmost area I had been scanning back and forth.
Yeah.
So my raster wasn't good enough. But
we did see it, naked eye. Why does the eye get to be naked? You know, when you say naked any other time, it's
unaided.
Not, yeah, but people say naked eye. They don't say naked arm or whatever. I don't want to get caught in that. But yeah, through the naked eye, we were able to see this, and it was really, really pretty cool. But the other thing we noticed, driving out east. and this might just be me, but I noticed a lot more election signs for the Democratic Party. A lot more Harris signs, a lot more Avalon signs. You know, I've been doing this for a while, driving out east and getting depressed by looking at the election signs. I'd usually see a lot more Republican signs and a lot more disturbing Republican signs, you know, mostly Trump signs. I think we only saw a couple of those, and the ones we saw, okay, there was one house that was had all kinds of hand-painted signs. I don't know what that was all about.
It was so adorable.
Yeah, I guess that's a word.
So cute. They were just like little placards. It looked like it was out of a movie. Like,
I'll tell you what movie that was out of. Dawn of the Dead. Step foot on that property. No, I'm kidding. Everyone's got a right to their opinion. And individual expression is great. And this person obviously spent a lot of time. And, you know, if you believe in that kind of stuff, fine. But we worry. We worry about the direction that would take us. Anyway, we did see some little Trump signs, but they were all on public land. In other words, by the side of the highway, not in front of people's homes. That's not the case 4 years ago at all. And I don't recall seeing a single Biden sign anywhere in Suffolk County 4 years ago. And I'm seeing Harris signs all over the place. Today I saw a sign that said, "Say no to Project 2025. You know, this is what Democrats need to do. They need to get out there. They need to be visible. They need to be loud. Because there are plenty of good points to be talking about, to be debating. And that's the thing. We all need to be debating. We all need to be talking to each other. Just because we disagree doesn't mean we condemn. Doesn't mean that we stop listening. You know, we have a chance to reach people. I know there's a lot of people listening now that support Trump. I know that. And you're probably some of the best people around because, you know, tradespeople, hardworking Long Islanders who are extremely honest and do great work, you hear those things that we've been talking about, and they affect you, and they disturb you, and I get that. But we all have to consider that we're being manipulated in one way or another, and we're being manipulated by everybody. I know that. I'm no fool as far as that goes. But the question is, how much are you being manipulated and by whom? And in the case of Trump, I think, you know, we've seen his game. We know where he's coming from. We know what he wants. And one thing, you know, you got to realize, because I don't think there's any stupid people listening. Yeah, you know, this guy is not really on your side. He's saying the right words. He's saying things to get you riled up. But do you really think he gives a crap about you? Look at the way he treats the people around him, the people who already make 100 times what we make. He doesn't care about them. Why would he care about people like us? Now, you could say, you know, Harris is a politician and she's, full of nonsense as well. Yeah, true. Any politician is. That's true. But what kind of people is Harris going to bring in with her? What kind of people is she going to inspire to get involved, to fix things? Look around you. Look at all the projects going on. Look at all the highways being repaired, the infrastructure, bridges, train tracks. This is all infrastructure. This is the kind of thing that Trump and his ilk rejected, did not support. Look at the economy. Yes, the economy is in the toilet. I know people feel it, but it's a global phenomenon. It's because of COVID. We went through one of the most horrible periods of our history through the COVID pandemic. And we're just recovering, you know? Places went out of business. Some places still aren't open the way they used to be. Prices have gone up, but this is not something that's only happening in the United States. But if you do compare the United States to the rest of the world, the United States is doing better. I know it doesn't feel that way, but if you were in a different country, you would notice the difference. Now, economists have been studying plans that both Trump and Harris have put forth. And they overwhelmingly say that Trump's plans would make things worse because they're simplistic and based on someone with no clear understanding of how it all works, an understanding of how he can get richer, but, like I said, doesn't care about the rest of us. Whereas Harris at least has a chance of doing something right, of getting it right. And this is based on what experts say. Now, you can say, oh, those experts are in the pocket. The more times, you know, think about this. The more times anybody who says something supportive of the other side is in their pocket, they have pretty big pockets, because it started off with the debates, ABC. Oh, boy, we have to condemn ABC now because Trump looked bad. 60 Minutes, Trump backed out of the 60 Minutes interview, and they interviewed Harris, who agreed to be on. Now CBS is bad because they allowed that to happen, but it was Trump who backed out. And add that to CNN and all the other media outlets. How many enemies are there? How many times is somebody a tool of the other side? You know, it gets unbelievable at some point. You know, when you might have one or two people or entities that are playing along, but when it gets to the point where they're all playing along, and there's only one or two of you standing, shouting your truth into the night sky, starts to look a little unrealistic. And I think that's something that a lot of us are struggling with. Because, you know, we don't want to say we were wrong. We don't want to say we were taken by a con man. But it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to learn from this. And I just hope there are people out there who are thinking about this seriously and realizing that maybe it's not the way they were told. Maybe they were having the wool pulled over their eyes. And for the rest of us, there is no shame in that, because we've all been fooled at one point or another. And we have to work together. We have to get back together. We have to talk to each other. We can't have this country that's split in half, where we're condemning and not communicating and pointing to what people did in the past. And I look at the two sides, and I ask myself, which side is that world more possible? And I can tell you what side that's not possible. The side that threatens to bring in the military, to break up protests. You know, the side that mocks and ridicules the opposition in really cringeworthy manners. The side that really isn't interested in what people not like them are feeling, or what would make them happy. So you have to measure all these things and just think of it seriously. This is not a joke, because it could go very, very badly. Listen to the people that know this guy. I mean, Dick Cheney, the things I have to say about Dick Cheney, the people from his party or in his inner circle that are now saying how dangerous he is, these are people that I really can't stand. I don't agree with anything they have to say, but I am listening to what they say, because they know what they're talking about as far as this goes. So let's not dismiss them. They're not all part of a conspiracy. These are individual people speaking their minds. Mike Pence? I mean, you know how I felt about Mike Pence. And yet, when he says that he can't in good conscience support Trump, that means something to me. That means, wow, even this guy, you know, that's as vanilla as you could possibly imagine, he sees the mistake he made and is willing to acknowledge that, and I respect that. So, listen to these people. And, for the other side, question them as well. If and when Harris is elected, you'll hear quite a bit of critique and challenging from this show, and from, I imagine, many of my colleagues here at WUSB. Because that's what you do when somebody is in power. You constantly challenge and push for the things that you think are right. And I hope that's the world we're moving towards.
Yeah, and in discussing, I don't think it is a foregone conclusion that you're necessarily debating. You may just be comparing notes and doing a little bit of a sanity check. I think a lot of people, and changing one's mind is allowed.
Totally.
People do change their mind. Having said one thing, felt one way, been okay with, or proud even of one thing, could change over time, and that person could feel very strongly in the other way, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Like, that is an okay evolution in so many regards. So please allow people grace.
I'm thinking of a world where, you know, kids aren't able to talk to their parents anymore because of decisions that were made in the past or viewpoints. And we need to get past that. We need to get to a world where that's in the past and we can communicate again and acknowledge the things that we agree on, because there are so many. There are more of those than there are other things. And to get there, we have to be less divisive. And I see a world where that's possible. I see a world where that's impossible. And my fingers are crossed. We'll see.
Now let's get back to work. We've got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, we do. Well, you have another 11 minutes of show here. But, you know, I do want to say to people who are listening to this radio station, this is WUSB in Stony Brook, we rely on listener funds to survive. And you can help WUSB. We're in the middle of a fundraiser right now, in fact. WUSB.fm, that's our website. If you go to that website, you'll see a section where you can donate any amount you want. And there are all kinds of items of appreciation that we will send you for different pledge amounts. Please, make use of that. Show your support, not for an ideology, not for one particular opinion, but for the forum, for having a place where people can speak freely and be heard and hear others. It's such a rarity these days. And I don't have to tell you. Look around the dial. You know, you found this place. How many others are there? Sure, there's all kinds of commercial programming. There's all kinds of talk programming that's inaccessible or that's national, so that only a very small handful of people are able to be heard at all. WUSB is run by well over 100 volunteers, and we operate out of the State University at Stony Brook. But we broadcast to all of Suffolk County, a good part of Nassau County as well, a good part of the Long Island Sound and other bodies of water. But again, we rely on your support. WUSB.fm is our website. Yes, .fm. You can do that. WUSB.fm. You'll find our schedule there. You'll find all kinds of info on programs. And you'll find a way that you can donate. And you'll feel great doing that.
Are you telling me if I take one of the boats, they have that boat that goes to Connecticut?
The ferry.
Yeah.
We're getting a new ferry, too.
If I'm on the Long Island.
That's what it's going to be called, the Long Island.
And I'm going to Long Island on the Long Island.
How did you guess it? Yeah, going to Long Island on the Long Island. Okay, you know, folks, you got to have a better name than that. I'm sorry, but there's got to be a better name. Name it the Marburger or something, you know, after the president of the campus a long time ago.
Am I triggering you, bro?
Well, I'm just saying, the Long Island, it's not... I mean, how does the ferry at Orient Point feel about that? Because that ferry goes from New London to Orient Point. It's going to Long Island, too, but, oh, you can't call it the Long Island. No, that's reserved for the Bridgeport-Port Jefferson ferry. Yeah, it's going to cause all kinds of issues.
So I'm piloting the ferry, Long Island, to Long Island.
Really?
Because my job is to drive the ferry boat, and I have my little radio... my all-weather backup radio tuned to 90.1, and as I'm on the high seas,
it's not so high, although it was kind of high the other day.
The choppy...
choppy seas out on the North Fork.
On the North Fork, and maybe with one foot up on the... No, with both feet planted in my piloting chair... As captain, I'm listening
to Long
Island Radio. You're
getting to a comma at some point in this sentence.
No, right? I'm stalling until you actually cut me off and play something.
No, I want to hear where this goes. But yeah, you can.
And it's slightly foggy, but I notice a clearing in the fog as I approach the coastline. And on this sunny dawn.
Wait, I thought it was nighttime. Okay, so it's foggy, but
who said nighttime?
I guess you just sort of painted a picture in my head.
As I sip my steaming cup of coffee.
Yeah, which you're going to need as a nautical captain of the...
I hear the call letters.
Uh-huh.
W-U-S-B.
Stony Brook. That's a legal ID, yes. And again, WUSB.FM is our website. By the way, this show is off the wall. You can write to us at our email address, which is off... it's OTW, which stands for off the wall, at 2600.com. That's OTW at 2600.com. And please, let us know what you think about some of the things we've talked about. You don't have to be local. We broadcast on the Internet through that same WUSB.FM. And can be heard all around the world. All around the world. And we hear from people all around the world. But we'd like to know if you have any opinions, thoughts about where we're heading, where we're going, where we've been, and things we might be able to do better. Hey, I just wanted to close out with a fun little story today. You know, occasionally I turn on the news, and apparently there was a town hall last night featuring Trump in suburban Philadelphia. He was about 30 minutes into it when there was a medical emergency in the crowd, so that brought the questions and answers to a halt. Then it resumed. He tried to get back on track. There was another medical incident, and that derailed things, and this time it derailed things for good. Yeah.
A lot of fainting, I think, is what I heard.
Is it because they're just so enamored, or is it too hot a room, or we may never know.
Okay, just list off 100 things, and they're all correct.
Well, okay, so anyway, so Trump, who's known for his improvisational departures, really did it this time. He instead of trying to restart the political program, he seemed to decide in the moment that it would be more enjoyable for all concerned, and it appeared for himself, to just listen to music instead. Okay, wow, you know, you're running for president, and this is you know, I don't get it. He's having an event in New York City at Madison Square Garden, a blue state. He went to California to campaign, not a swing state at all. I'm not sure about the strategy here, but listening to music. Yeah, he had his staff fire up his campaign playlist, standing on the stage for about half an hour, swaying to songs as his crowd slowly dwindled until they locked the doors. Yeah, those are the tweets I was seeing last night.
Is that like vamping?
He
can someone talk to Mariah Carey? Is that technically vamping?
He bobbed his head through the Village People's YMCA. Boy, they are so pissed about that, which is his usual closing song. He swayed soberly to Rufus Wainwright's version of Hallelujah, watched a Sinead O'Connor video. I somehow don't think she would be a big fan. Rocked along to Elvis, watched the crowd during Richmond, north of Richmond, and then finally left the stage to shake hands on his way out during one last song. You know, something like that, hearing about something like this, I kind of think he's done. Kind of think he feels like, all right, I've done enough now. I'm tired. I'm fed up. And let's listen to some music. And with that, let's listen to some music here on WUSB.
Yeah, I'll come back now.
Good night.
Up your head. You are listening to the Struggle Session on WUSB Stony Brook. Marxism-Leninism in the 21st Century, baby.